Welcome back to Mixtape. I'm Henry Picavet.
I'm Megan Rose Dickey.
Hi, Megan.
What up?
How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm like all jacked up on coffee.
As always. Actually, I could say I'm jacked up on Gatorade, but I don't think Gatorade jacks you up. I think it just refills your electrolytes, which I had lost today because I didn't go to the gym.
Oh, okay. So just pre-game with the electrolytes, yeah. I guess.
Or just giving me more electrolytes? I don't know.
Maybe.
I went to LA this weekend.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It was cool. It was hot. Hot. I don't remember being that hot when I was growing up there. I mean, it was hot, but it wasn't a dry heat. LA gets humid now. Or muggy. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's very strange. It does here too, in Bay Area.
I don't know, man. I was in Outside Lands.
Oof. Mm-mm.
I know, yeah.
But did you have fun?
Yeah. Oh, a little bit. I saw Janelle Monáe and that was wonderful. Oh,
bomb.
But yeah, I saw maybe five acts across all 3 days.
I'm gonna go see Nathaniel Rateliff this weekend. He is a singer, bomb singer, love his music, and I can't wait. I'm gonna see it at the Fox in Oakland. Nice. I haven't ever been there, so.
Oh, yeah, never. I went there for the first time very recently.
Okay.
Yeah, it's cool. It kind of reminds me of the Warfield in a way.
Oh, okay. I like the Warfield. Yeah, I've been there a few times.
In San Francisco. Anyway, what's on the docket?
We are gonna talk today on TechCrunch Mixtape, dear listeners, about dogs,
doggos,
mac and cheese, and working out.
Yeah.
All right.
So we're gonna start with the doggos.
We're gonna start with the dogs. There's a company called BarkBox.
Yeah.
Which I've actually experienced. Okay, tell you all what the BarkBox does. It's a subscription service that you can subscribe to if you have a dog. I guess if you don't have a dog, but why would you? But it shows up. Whatever, monthly or however you want.
Of like treats and toys and shit.
Treats and toys and shit. And I was at a friend's house, an acquaintance, let's just say, he has a dog. Is it a Frenchie? I mean, to see these little things wag their tails and their smashed faces and with the big ears and whatnot. Mm. Anyway, he opens up the box and this dog started freaking out and like, kind of jumping at the box and trying to open it and stuff like that.
He knew what was coming.
Treats, I guess, right? So this company that does this decided that they wanted to create a dog park for not only dogs but adults.
Yeah, it's called, they're describing it as an outdoor clubhouse called Bark Park.
Bark Park.
And so the first one's going to be in Nashville, Tennessee. It's going to open in early September, and the idea is that, you know, you bring your pup, the pup like runs around on the grass, plays with other dogs, and meanwhile the human gets like free Wi-Fi and can like get some coffee and chill and like get some work done, so that they, as opposed to, you know, going to a cafe and then leaving your dog outside on the sidewalk and the dog's all bummed,
or at home the dog should be. Right? No, you don't have to take your dog everywhere.
But dog Donnie, he had so much anxiety. He does not like being left alone. So like he's always in the car with my mom. Like everywhere she goes, where she can take him, like he's there. Mm-hmm. So, but sometimes she has to leave him in the car with the windows down. Mm-hmm. Of course. He's barking and crying the whole time.
Jesus Christ. Okay. Another way to look at this situation, this Bark Park thing, is because you said, you know, it's a place where your dogs can go while you, the human, can get some work done.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Or it's like if you don't want to actually, or go to a bar, because there's a bar by my house, and I think I was there a couple weeks ago and I'm pretty sure I stepped over four dogs. That they're like, oh, you know what, I'm gonna take my dog for a walk and then just like pop in for a quick drink or really quick whatever. I wish they'd leave the dogs at home. Take the dog for a walk and then put it back at the house and then go out. But I don't have a dog.
Clearly.
You can probably...
You're more of a cat guy.
I love cats. I'm definitely a cat person.
Yeah, and cats are like, yeah, just leave me be. Yeah. Don't talk to
me. Yeah, or they come play with you and then they leave and then you're like, all right, cool, I'll feed you. But I will admit, hearing you explain this, it's like, because we have dog parks here in San Francisco and in Oakland, right? Specified dog parks. Throw a cafe in there, fine.
Yeah.
A little coffee cubicle.
Yeah.
You know, some Wi-Fi. Cool. Right? I get that. So this is a company doing this, though. So right. This turns into a let us sell you our services, too.
Yeah, so you can get a day pass for $19, or you can buy a four-week or seasonal passes. So, like, a four-week pass is $49. A seasonal pass is $78. And the idea is that the dog is the member. The human is not the member. The dog is the member. So let's use Donnie, King Donnie, as an example. So he'd be a member at this Bark Park. And he's always allowed to bring two humans with him. So, like, he could bring me and my mom, or, like, he could bring, like, my dad and my sister, or just if we needed, like, a dog walker, like, the dog walker and their friends. So it's really centered around the dog and the pup's experience. So that way, like, the dog can always go there. It doesn't really matter who the dog's with. Slash, remember that story? This was maybe from a couple of years ago, but it was the dog that, like, rode the bus by itself in Portland
Yeah.
And just, like, took itself to the park.
I mean, that's cute.
So cute.
Here's the thing. Okay. I like dogs.
Do you?
I do. I don't want to have to walk them. I don't want to have to, like, wake up at 6 a.m. And I mean, I did have to get up and feed the cat when I had a cat for 2.5 months. But
what happened to your cat?
I'm allergic to cats.
Oh, so then you had to let it go.
At the time I had to. But yeah, now you're not. I saved it and it stuck around. We hung out. We became really good friends, me and Rex. And he would wake me up at 4 a.m. and I would get mad. But I had to get rid of him because it cost me $100 in medicine.
Wow. But now you're not allergic.
My allergy went away. I'm still not going to get a cat. I still think they're too much work. Cats are just too much work for me too.
No work.
So anyway, what I think would be cool to see is if, you know, the San Francisco dog parks all over the country, all over the world, whatever, were a place where the people say, "Oh, I'm going to go take my dog for a walk," instead of having to go to the bar and having Henry have to step over your dog, go to these places. Isn't sponsored by Bark Park, that is just a service. I mean, I guess it's not sponsored. It is a Bark Park thing, but
yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're
Bark.
Yeah. Bark. Well, now they rebranded as Bark and Co. because
Bark and Co.
Yeah, because they've, like, expanded into this more, like, clearly, dog lifestyle company and not just, like, delivery of goods.
And dog lifestyle is, in the article, they talk about how Nashville is such a huge dog city.
Yeah.
Have you been to San Francisco? Huge dog city.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. I've never been to Nashville, so I can't compare.
Me neither. But I'd like to go.
Yeah.
So you're in favor of the
Oh, yeah. Park. No, I texted this story to my friend, and she was just like, "All right, let's move. Let's move to Nashville."
Or either create your own here.
True.
Or lobby the city council to have Wi-Fi and a little coffee cubicle / bar.
But, yeah, so the thing is this, like, in San Francisco, there's free Wi-Fi throughout a good chunk of the city. Like, I often will get on, like, free Wi-Fi, definitely around, like, the Market Street, like, DeBose Triangle area, so, like, DeBose Park.
And that is it's not a dog park. But
it definitely is a dog park, DeBose Park. Yeah, and, there are benches, so, like...
Yeah.
You can just chill, but the thing is that, like, there's not also, like, a coffee stand
or
something, but there's also a cafe, like, super close by.
You know, kudos to the company. Kudos. Kudos and woof to Bark & Co. for having the idea. I'm not a fan of they look like tumbleweed things. I'll put the link in the show description, but there's, like, little tumbleweed looking things with the people sitting inside of them, and they're not really looking at their dogs. And what about the dog shit? Is there somebody walking around picking up the dog shit? Or does the owner have to pick up the dog shit? So anyway, we'll see what happens. But I think that they expand.
Yeah, expand. For sure.
And maybe give the city money. And I don't know, find homes, build homes for the homeless. I don't know.
Yeah. So. Yeah, no, absolutely.
All right, well, you're in favor.
I mean, like, I'd be down to check it out.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this is the best idea I've ever heard, but I would check it out with Donnie. I would get a day pass.
Day pass, $20. And then it's $20 for what? And then you have to buy coffee on top of that?
Yeah.
It's free Wi-Fi. It's not. I just did air quotes.
It's not free. For $19 a day, you get to have your dog run around. You get to buy coffee.
Right.
your dogs get to like play around with Bark & Co. toys and like explore some of their products. And then there's also like weekly programming, like beer tastings and live music. So okay. It's kind of like a community.
Yeah.
Dog community vibe.
All right.
Meet other dog lovers, other bougie dog lovers, you know?
Maybe it's another way to meet people.
Right. You know,
could be cool. Get a relationship.
Maybe.
Going. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd actually be perfect for my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause she all has right. a dog. She loves her dog.
Okay.
Just wants a guy who likes dogs.
Yeah. So. You heard it here first, Bark & Co. Dating app. Yeah. But in real
yeah,
life.
Yeah, or like meetup. Like, hey, like.
Meetup, yeah. Or.
Like, who wants to like meet me at the.
Bark Park. Bark Park. And put these up all over. And then yeah. like you have like a thing on the app. It's like, who'd you meet here last week? Are they going to be here?
That kind yeah. of thing.
Stalkery. Yeah. It's a little too stalkery. Though. Never mind. Let's move on. Mac and cheese.
Okay.
Ooh, mac and cheese. Ooh. So, Megan, you met a startup called Macda? Or is it Mackie D? Or is
no,
it
no, no. It's Macked, but I was just trying to pronounce the D.
Yeah.
It's Mac apostrophe D.
Lowercase d, I might add.
Right.
So you pronounce it?
Macked.
Macked.
Okay. But I was saying Macda. So you knew that there was a D there.
Right.
Anyway, so Y Combinator, this Silicon Valley accelerator that's been around for years, they invest like $125,000 in a number of startups every year, and this company Macda was one of them. So I got to check out one of their restaurants. So they have two brick and mortar locations in San Francisco, and the idea is that it's build your own mac and cheese. So you start with the cheese base. You pick your cheese sauce. And then you say, okay, I want like this type of noodle or that type of noodle. And then you add the things that you want mixed in. And then you add some toppings. And then bada boom, bada bing. And you get your $11 mac and cheese, which I guess is expensive. Feels, I don't know, it lasted me. I was able to eat it for like lunch and then dinner.
I definitely would have had it just
for
lunch.
So it's like two meals. Yeah. I got two meals out of it.
All right. It was good. Tasted good.
Whew, it was good.
It was good.
Yeah.
So what's the tech?
There's no.
So Y Combinator.
They use iPads in their store.
There's zero tech. So we're talking about a restaurant.
Yeah.
But Y Combinator is the tech angle.
In a way. So, I mean, the founder, his name's Chen Chen. He was telling me that, like to be honest, like there's barely tech. I mean, at most they're. They'll become tech enabled, but like at this point, they have iPads in the store. But I mean, I would argue that also the other tech element is the fact that they really want to rely heavily, or at least like 50% on these on demand delivery startups, so Postmates, DoorDash, Uber Eats, and integrate into their system. So. The idea being, so for instance, in Portland, they don't actually have any brick and mortar locations, but what they do, they just rented out a kitchen in a commissary, and then they only sell their food through Uber Eats, through Postmates, through Caviar.
In a place like Portland.
In Portland.
And they currently do that.
They currently do that, and that's kind of their plan to determine other markets, other markets where they want to launch.
Tech.
Yeah,
that's
so, yeah. I mean, it's... Yeah, it's like tech integration, but like at its core, I mean, a mac and cheese restaurant is not a technology company.
No, but, no. But also, there's the melt.
Yeah, the melt that
is
grilled
that what it's
cheese
called?
Place.
Investors have like Silicon Valley investors have given them money too.
Yeah, and same with like Sweetgreen. We had them at Disrupt in New York 1 year.
True. I mean, I love mac. I'm a huge proponent of mac and cheese.
It's good.
The existence of such, and there's a except I'm partial to Homeroom in Oakland.
Okay, I still have to go there.
Yeah, it's this place is done. So I don't want Mac to move to Oakland.
Why?
Because Homeroom is there.
You like.
Oh.
Want them to respect.
Oh.
Homeroom.
The turf.
Okay.
Yeah.
But this okay. Yeah. All what? Right.
Well, you're about to say you can build your own.
That's, no, that I was going to say, well, this guy actually grew up in San Francisco,
that's
which I thought was cool.
Can,
That's so fine. I guess so. He gets San Francisco. He
can have San Francisco.
But if okay,
anyway. I respect Homeroom not expanding to San Francisco. I don't know what they're gonna do, but they're so successful over there in Oakland that they had to open a block away another spot just for pickup orders.
Damn.
Yeah, and there's always a line. And it's always packed.
But
they don't. You can't. There's a whole bunch of different types, and you can be like, can you make the spicier? Probably, but it sounds like Mac'd. Its angle is there's a bar, there's a mac and cheese bar.
It's funny because that's what I was envisioning. I thought it'd be like, okay, everything's laid out in front of me, and then I actually kind of make it myself. But really, it's more so just like me telling the person, oh, add this and that and this and that.
So it's like
kind of like
salad bar, but for mac and cheese.
Yeah. And kind of like when you go to, I don't know, like Potbelly. Remember Potbelly?
No.
Oh my God. They had the best sandwiches. It's like an East Coast, maybe Midwest sandwich place. But anyway, so you're not actually physically building your own mac and cheese, but you do get to decide exactly what goes in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is just a conversation about mac and cheese then.
It really is.
It's not a conversation about any tech. I mean, I could talk about mac and cheese for a long time.
Could you?
I mean, we started what kind of noodles do you like? Like the thin ones? I used to eat Kraft mac and cheese.
Oh, yeah, same. Even just the Easy Mac is good.
Yeah. Stouffer's, I would microwave Smart, Healthy, whatever that one is called. A lot of salt and pepper, if I'm being honest.
Mm. Yeah, and I mean, I think I noted this in my article, but like mac and cheese is pretty hard to mess up. However, I have had bad mac and cheese. Yeah. Like, I don't even know how
you tried the bad mac.
Right, and so I don't know, like this, they do a really good job, and they actually have a chef who was at one point involved with the International Smoke, which is a collaboration between Michael Mena and Ayesha Curry.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's like
wife of Golden State Warrior Steph Curry.
Indeed. So yeah, I mean, I'll definitely be going back to Mac'd.
Where is it located?
So there's one located on Polk Street.
I'm just asking for myself, actually.
Yeah. Nobody cares. Polk Street in San Francisco, like...
So far away.
And then in the Marina.
Nobody's going over there. Okay, so I'm going to stick to Homeroom in Oakland.
Okay, yeah. But, I mean, Homeroom is definitely closer for you.
Yeah, and I mean, but yeah, if you leave San Francisco and you love Mac'd and you move to Portland or something and you're like, oh my God, Mac'd is on Uber Eats. That's cool.
Cool. Totally. Yeah.
You get your Mac'd on. So once you eat the mac and cheese, you should consider thinking about perhaps working out the next day.
Perhaps.
Right.
A tiny bit. I think I actually did that in reverse order though. Because I think first I checked out Tonal, which is this in-home fitness machine that uses electromagnetism and machine learning to simulate weights. So like if you're so essentially it's this machine that mounts to a screen that mounts to your wall, and these bars like come out of it, and then you can do like weight training and squats and just all of that, but without actually having those metal weights involved. So yeah, so I got to try that out earlier this month, and it really messed me up. I mean, you saw me after that workout.
Yeah, you couldn't walk very well. You had just done some squats.
Yeah.
What did they have you do? I'd asked you, what did they have you do? Like 10 sets of, four sets of 10?
Yeah, okay. So first they had me do a strength test. So they had me do a few movements, like some leg stuff, some arm stuff, just to kind of figure out what my base strength was. But then once I actually did my first workout based on that weight, I found that my endurance is really horrible. And like, so, but what's cool about this machine though, is that as it could feel that it knew that I was struggling to continue lifting the weight. Like, so like even rep two, when I was doing the bicep curls, it realized that, oh, like Megan is not doing these as efficiently as in the first round of reps. So we're going to adjust the weight so it'll be a little easier. And then they also have like a spotter. And so like as you're like pulling up, it might like.
Does it? I was just going to ask you, it does spot you.
Yeah, exactly.
So I didn't. This is the first I'm hearing about that part of it. And I'm, can you, I wonder if you can set the settings. Don't make it easier. Spot me.
Yeah. 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 Like you don't have to have the spotter enabled.
Yeah. I would definitely want the spotter and I would not want them to make the weights lighter because I want them to help me get through it.
Right.
I need one of these in my house.
Yeah.
And by my house, I mean my studio.
But the thing is that they are about $3,000. plus then $49 a month for the content. So what else in addition to like the what they're calling digital weights, the other aspect of it is personal training. So they have about 8 coaches within the platform, and so as you're working out, you're also kind of getting like personal training. So it's a combination of digital weights plus personal training inside your house. You essentially don't have to go to the gym ever again, really.
I want one so bad. I was even looking around my apartment this morning.
Like, where would you put?
I could just move that mirror and it could go there. Because training sessions cost a lot of money. I love my trainer.
Yeah.
But it's a lot. And he does, there's value to an in-person personal trainer. I don't know what these personal trainers do. Do they sit there and talk to you about stuff? But I don't know. A gym membership costs more than $49. Mine doesn't, but there are a lot that do.
Absolutely.
Cost more than that, right? And you just have the initial purchase of this thing. If it doesn't break down, and if you're sitting there watching TV or something, you can just knock out a few reps of things.
Yeah,
it looks pretty cool. I want to experience it.
It's definitely really cool, and they actually have a showroom in San Francisco where you can go and just kind of demo the product and see how it works. Because I feel like it's definitely one of those things that you have to try in order to really understand what the value is.
And if I recall, you were a little skeptical, right?
I definitely wasn't the most excited about it when it was suggested that I go check out this company. I think I was just, I'm just so lazy that I'm just like,
You're not though, because you run and run
sometimes,
races.
Sometimes. But like when they said, because I agreed to take the meeting before I even knew what it was, but okay. it just came highly recommended. And then they're like, okay, great. Like see you at like 1:30 or whatever. Like make sure you like bring workout clothes. And I was just like what? I did not sign up for this. Like apparently I did, but I didn't know what I was signing up for. And then I saw the device and I was just like, I just knew that it wasn't going to be easy for me. But I think the other reason why I was just skeptical of it was because, just because of the price point. But then, you know, you have like Peloton, the cycling, the fucking...
You sit in your house and you sit on a bike and there's
that's at least like $1,500. And then with Tonal, I mean, I would argue, it's just a different workout, but I feel like you can do so many things with Tonal, whereas like with Peloton, you're just cycling.
So
cycling sucks.
Yeah. Okay. So you went and you were skeptical and then you did the workout and you left the workout and your legs were killing you because you had done the squats.
Right.
And then you just told me before we started recording that you thought your arms were broken.
Like, not actually broken, but I thought that maybe I had pulled something because it took them a while to not be sore anymore.
Well, that's how it works when you lift weights. Usually,
so that's the thing. Like, I haven't lifted weights since I was in high school.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. I didn't know. Oh.
That's why I got.
If you would have told me that, remember when I told you to take some protein? Remember when I told you that?
Yeah, I know. I chugged those meatballs.
Right. We have like 2 vats of protein powder in the office that you could have like asked somebody to use. Anyway, not that that would have helped,
right.
But I did not know that you haven't lifted weights since high school. I would have at least told you to suggested that you stretch.
Well, they did have me stretch afterward and before.
All right. I mean, you're going to be sore anyways. It's fine. It just means you're, look, I have biceps. I did not know that. Okay.
Yeah, because I guess like high school was, over 10 years ago at this point.
For some of us.
Because when I was doing crew, I was like super.
Oh, yeah. Well, shit. Yeah.
We're all doing like weight training and da-da-da.
Yeah.
And I just stopped.
So, okay. So you did have that experience then. So how would you compare? I mean, is this a legit thing? Would you say this is a legit thing?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. So, because you could do what? Triceps, biceps, back, chest.
Yeah, you
and
can
just
also,
using his arms.
And they also, the device also comes with like a bench. So you can do I just don't know the names of any of any of the
exercises.
Yeah. Or the word for exercise. So
well, you have the you can do because you. So I saw the picture on the post. And the person is in a bench. I was like, okay, so that's cool. At least it comes with a bench, which you know you can do. Yeah, because you can lower the arms. You can do your backs. You can get, and then you can probably do chest. You can mimic a chest press probably.
And what's a chest press? That's when you're on your back.
Yeah, and you're lifting. Up. Yeah.
Yeah, you can do that. I think. Oh, but usually that's the horizontal bar.
Yeah, the horizontal bar above your chest. This one, you can do that same exercise, but you have to stand up probably against something. You just probably have to figure out how, and I'm sure it comes with a booklet or you got the trainer, if you pay for the trainer, right?
Yeah.
There's the video. So the screen.
It'll tell you how to do it.
The screen, it's like it hangs up on your wall, but it's pretty long.
Yeah.
Right. So all your measurements show up. And then if you have the trainer's on video and you can watch the trainer do the exercise and then you mimic them.
Yeah. And you can see the demo as many times as
that's
you'd
cool.
like. And it also can tell, you know, how fast you're moving. So like you'll never really feel rushed. You know, like it's just perfectly synced up with your movements.
My favorite part of this is the... aside from being in my house, but my favorite part of this is being able to detect when you're struggling, because that's what my personal trainer does. Is he can tell when I'm he counts the time between each rep, and he can tell when I'm slowing down.
Yeah, exactly.
And that tells him he's gonna have to start spotting me just to get me up and over so I can lift the actual weight.
Right.
And that's really great that this machine does that. Yeah. I need to have one of these goddamn things in my apartment.
Yeah, I mean, if it would get down to like $1,500, so I want them to cut the price in half.
Did you tell them that?
No, I didn't. I mean, I didn't tell them.
You send them this episode.
You're tonal. Like, give me a 50% discount.
I want one of these so bad.
But yeah, I mean, $3,000 just feels like, honestly, I guess if I were you and already committed to working out, then that makes sense.
Yeah.
But like for me, I'm barely even in it.
Yeah. Well, you keep eating those. Susie's. But you're more of a runner. You're more of a, when you do work out, you're more of a runner.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, that's funny. I do enjoy lifting, but, you know, sometimes I don't go to the gym each week like I should or whatever.
Yeah.
And I would hope that if I spent $3,000 on something, that while I'm watching the A's or Bachelor in Paradise, I'm working out, doing some reps.
Yeah.
I need to have one of these in my apartment. Anyways, well.
I mean, honestly, we could probably all go in on one and just have it in the office.
That would
or something.
Be fucking bomb. Because
you can have more than one person
that would be
have
bomb.
Like profiles on the.
Or maybe we just ask somebody to get us one and send it to the TechCrunch offices.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sent to Megan and attention Megan and Henry. And then we'll work out in the studio back here.
Yeah, man.
Cool. Well, these are three fun stories to talk about.
Yeah.
I'm still not convinced about the dogs.
The more we talked about it, the less convinced I became.
Okay,
to be
cool.
Honest.
I was a little more convinced than I knew. Because earlier when I read the story, remember I sent it to you? I was like, what the F?
But I just felt so excited about it because I just think it's really cute. But
yeah.
Is it a good business model?
I mean, yeah,
I don't know.
Let's see what happens. That's why they're Bark & Co.
Right.
So, all right, folks. We have a fun episode next time. Megan and I interviewed Sarah Cooper yesterday. She's funny as hell. And she wrote a book called
How to Be Successful Without Hurting Men's Feelings.
It's a great book.
Yeah.
We're gonna talk a little bit about that with her. And then you and I are going to have a conversation separately about what we thought about the book and our favorite parts of it. Basically, the whole every page was my favorite part. But
yeah. And a little bit more context. She used to work at Google, so she spent quite a lot of time in the tech industry.
Getting experience.
Yeah. So this is based on her experiences in the tech industry. So
how to be successful without hurting men's feelings.
Yeah. Coming out October
14th, right?
I was going to say the 8th, but...
Okay. We'll confirm that. And next week, we'll give you more accurate information. But have a good week, folks. Thanks for tuning in.
All right, see ya.
Ciao.